So I am the Director of Public Policy and Advocacy at the National Consumer Voice for Quality Long-Term Care. And we're a national advocacy organization, and we advocate for quality of life, quality of care, and the rights of nursing home residents and other long-term care consumers. And my particular focus is obviously in the public policy arena, really trying to push for laws and regulations and guidance and policies that are really responsive to the needs of residents and other long-term care consumers, and to also really help to bring their voice to the forefront so that they are having input into these decisions, these policy decisions that impact their lives 24 hours a day.
How did the COVID-19 pandemic first get on your radar, and how did you know that it would so, directly impact your work?
So it got on our radar just first in general, like most of us in the country. I mean, we started hearing about it. World Health Organization declared, a global pandemic, but it really became a focus or a particular concern when we saw the residents in Life Care Center in Kirkland, Washington, dying, and staff members dying, and residents getting ill, and just the dire situation there. So that's when it was first, oh my goodness, what is happening here, and look at this horrendous impact. Over time, as more residents started to become ill and to die, and CMS started issuing guidance, we realized that we needed to be very active in helping our network, which consists of family members and residents, as well as advocates and long-term care ombudsmen, and helping people really understand what the guidance was saying, and to help them so that if, as family members or residents, they could advocate at the facility level, but also to try to equip state advocates so that they could push for guidance and policies that worked for residents. We weren't successful with that, sadly, but we tried to support advocates as well. So really working to, take that guidance and make it understandable, as well as pushing back and trying to advocate for guidance that, help support residents if at all possible.
And so looking back on the pandemic, I know that we're still, we're not in the woods yet, but looking back, is there anything that you would have done differently in your work?
That's a really good question. So I think there are a couple of things, and this is policy related. I think we would have really pushed back against the suspension of standard surveys and complaint investigations that CMS put in place early on, because we have seen what has happened to the care, and seen so much neglect when there haven't been eyes on and oversight in any meaningful way in the nursing home. So we would have really fought hard, I think, against that. And the other issue, and this is the I guess the luxury of hindsight, which is looking back, absolutely would have advocated right from the get-go for essential caregivers that there must be one to two visitors who have access to residents, regardless of what else is going on in terms of, COVID levels and community rates and that, because we had just seen the devastating impact that the ban on visitation has had in terms of the isolation and neglect and loneliness that residents have suffered. And so I think, looking back, we certainly would have pushed for that. So we're going to try to push for that going forward. And are definitely trying to advocate for essential caregivers at the in terms of federal legislation, so that in any future, God forbid, but any future, public health emergency, we won't ever have residents be harmed in this way from lack of visitors again.
Yeah. And so that, in addition, what other changes do you hope to come out of the pandemic, obviously besides the essential caregivers, which I understand we're always pushing for that?
So number one is we are really hoping that finally, this is the time when we can get some real improvements in terms of staffing in nursing homes. As this has been a problem for decades, and then it just became absolutely, exacerbated during the pandemic to really crisis proportions. And so we really hope that we'll see a range of changes in staffing, with a minimum staffing standard and a registered nurse around the clock, increased training for nurse aides, and that we will finally see a living wage and benefits for workers. And because all of that, it's kind of a whole package of changes that are needed to really make a difference. And so I would say that's the number one change that we think we really hope we'll see, because we all know how fundamental staffing is to quality care, and you can't even get there if the staffing isn't addressed. But we also really hope that we'll see more accountability, first of all, in terms of meeting the standards of care. So improved, stronger enforcement, because we all know that you can have the best regs and the best law in the world, but if it's not enforced, it means absolutely nothing. But also accountability for how that money is spent. I mean, we have seen during the pandemic that nursing homes have received a lot of money with very little accountability for how it's spent. And that is really been how we've operated in the country in terms of funding nursing homes. So we want to see audits so that we know exactly where the money is going, and that if there's increased funding, that it must be directed to staffing. And we'd also like, as a major change, to see limits put on how much profit corporations, and particularly nursing homes, can make through like a medical loss ratio or a direct care ratio or whatever it's being called, so that we ensure that the vast majority of the federal dollars that nursing homes are getting are going to caring for residents and not for profit or administrative costs. And we one final thing, I mean, there's a long list, obviously, of changes we would like to see and that are very, very needed. But the other one is we need major accountability for the corporations, because so much of what happens at the facility level, it comes from on high, comes from the corporate level. And so, imposing sanctions on an individual facility is important, but it's not going to really get at the core of the problem, which is at the corporate level. So we'd really like to see CMS be given the authority to impose sanctions on entire corporations, not just on individual facilities, but also that not just anybody can waltz in and buy a nursing home or operate a nursing home or manage a nursing home, that there are standards in place, because right now corporations that are have a lot, own a lot of facilities in which there's really bad care, can continue to buy new facilities and operate facilities with impunity. So we need to keep those bad actors out by having some federal criteria and federal standards in place to tighten that up, because so much of it starts at the top.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting after doing so many of these interviews and everything that I've learned since I've started with LTCCC is that the things that people want to see come out of this really have nothing to do with the pandemic. They're things that advocates have been pushing for since long before.
That they formed the foundation of why we had the pandemic was so devastating. Everybody's just hoping that we look and say we can never again let this happen, and we have to improve care. So people are at least paying attention to nursing homes a little more now as opposed to before, and so I hope it's a real opportunity for change.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much again for participating in this project.